fellow Freedom fans. This is David Allen Carmichael on the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. Yes, I am going to. I can't help it. Can't help myself. It just comes out of my pores. I'm going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong.
So that people will be enlightened, they'll be encouraged. In some instance, I'm going to try to kindly chastise every one of us to motivate us to get more involved with our minds and our bodies and our actions and our spirit and everything that's involved with us, so that we can do what is necessary to maintain the liberty of this nation. And if we will do that, I've got a sneaking suspicion that we will be prosperous and we will be protected. So that's my viewpoint. Now, I'm going to go back to this statement made by the elected official. He said, to extend this nation's prosperity, he actually said, the government was called to these purposes. And he said, to extend this nation's prosperity. Now, that sounds really good and really neat. Well, I'll benefit, I think, from it. You know, you can expect that. The only problem is when that is your focus, when you believe that extending the nation's prosperity is the purpose of government, what happens is that's the ends, not the means. What I'm saying is, if we lose focus on the real purpose of government and we start focusing on the nation's prosperity, what's at stake? What price are we going to pay for this nation's prosperity? So if men are not considering the basis of their decisions and the focus of government and the focus of the power they are given to enforce laws or so-called make laws or whatever it is, then we're not going to be prosperous. It's going to be a little bit arbitrary, and it may just go down a path of destruction. The other one that comes next is probably one of those things that pushes people's buttons, to spend the people's money wisely. That implies something. They have the people's money. And the thing is, they may want to be more wise by getting more money. When their focus is to spend the people's money wisely, that's a dangerous look at what our purpose is. What is the purpose of government? And unless you stop me, I'm actually going to read the Declaration of Independence and see what the founding people thought the purpose of government was. We've heard the term, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Usually truth is self-evident, that all men are created equal. We are created equal. And that went to the point of addressing points made by this gentleman, Samuel Rutherford, that he had made comments in his treatise called Lex Rex. Did the king have a divine right to exercise his power and authority to take office? Is he basically a little appendage of Almighty God just kind of stuck up here, stuck on earth? Or was the king somebody that is elevated by men and affirmed by men in a democratic way? That's what Lex Rex talked about. But what's interesting about this is when you see things in the Declaration of Independence, they'll actually almost quote one of these older documents. So hopefully I've inspired you guys to think about going to the library sometime and looking some of this stuff up. Or what's great, we've got it on the internet and it's available there. But we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And when you see the term certain unalienable rights, did they just come up with that? Was that just something that went bing, the light bulb went on before it was invented, and they came up with this certain unalienable rights? Well, if you had read Sir William Blackstone, again, his publication was probably about 10 years prior to this, he talked about law, and he talked about right and wrong, and he brought law down to things that are just based upon right or wrong. So there are certain unalienable rights, and we look at the term rights as if I have the right to vote, I have the right to do something, but we forget it's based on, the reason I have a right to do it, it's because it's a right thing to do. You always, in a free country, have a right to do the right thing. In fact, if you get challenged in a court for doing something that violates a civil statute, one of your defenses can be, well, because of the big picture, though there was, I might have not crossed a T and dotted the I with regard to this civil statute, what I was doing was actually a right thing. Like if I punched the producer of our radio program in the nose, only if he's actually trying to hurt somebody, and that's how I have to do it to stop him, and I'm actually doing the right thing. I know that sounds really strange, but the point is, there are times when you can do something that, to the letter of the law, you violate the letter, but you did it for a right reason. In other words, to save somebody else's life. There's a speed limit. And in fact, the ambulances exceed the speed limit by about 15 miles per hour every time they drive down the road. There's a provision for it because they're doing what is right. So that's kind of the big picture to this. Rights are things that you do that are right, and wrongs are wrongs. You don't have a right to do that which is wrong. Now, they're going to talk about these rights, that among these rights are life. Let's say that one more time with feeling. That among these rights are life. Life is a right. It's a good. It is not a wrong. Life is not a wrong under any circumstance. Life is a right. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And I, you know, how do we qualify the pursuit of happiness? You know, I think John Locke had a couple of comments on his books about happiness and things like that. And the reason why we put together a commonwealth of people that kind of make a government. He talked about the pursuit of happiness. But essentially, it's the opportunity to choose when we can do that which is right. And to exercise those things that are exercises of love and not mandate. So those are the things, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's no obligation if you're giving. It's something that you're doing in your pursuit of happiness. So those are the things. It says, let me just go ahead and read it straight through. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's true. That is true. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the founders of the nation thought the purpose of government was. And they wrote it here, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That's the purpose of government, to secure the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it just occurred to me, when my brain is following this yellow brick road, if the government is using its powers and its energies and, you know, doing all this work and people typing little offices to the end of destroying life or intruding upon liberty or destroying or inhibiting the pursuit of happiness, that is true, or blessedness, if they're working against that, they're actually going contradictory. They're acting contradictory to the purpose of government as espoused here in the Declaration of Independence. So that's something that we need to think about. And that's really one of the things that I'm motivated to do this Faith and Freedom show. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the faith part of it. But the freedom issue is something that we have to be very diligent about to make sure this is happening. It's actually hard work to maintain freedom. And we hear a song in country music that says, I'm proud to be an American because at least I know I'm free. And it talks about those who have given their lives to secure my freedom. The tough part is that securing freedom is a daily job. It's not something like, well, they secured my freedom in 1945, so now I'm free. Well, actually, they secured the freedom for 1945. There was work securing liberty, and people gave their lives. They sacrificed themselves because they loved their neighbor in France and in Poland and Czechoslovakia. And those people were giving their lives completely because they knew what they were doing was right. And that is a great grand sacrifice. Those people are heroes because they were there. Those who gave their lives, who were willing to give their lives, who their lives were threatened because of their fulfilling their duty to love their neighbor as themselves and come to the rescue of even strangers. But we sing the song, I'm proud to be American because at least I know I'm free. The tough part is about the term. I think sometimes we spend too much time speaking about how proud I am to be American instead of thinking, you know, I'm humble to be an American. I'm actually humble to be an American. When I read the Declaration of Independence and I see that these guys had this experiment going on back in 1776. They had all these principles that they read from, like I said, John Locke and Blackstone and Rutherford and some other people, Hobbes and a whole bunch of other people. And they were reading these things, but it was an opportunity to say, do we really believe it? I know sometimes people go to church and they say something, they might go through a rote thing, and they say, well, if I really believe what I just said, my behavior would be different. So it seems that they were reviewing what they were reading, and they made a discussion among themselves and asked, what should I be doing differently? What should we be doing differently? Is it right or is it wrong? If there's a wrong going on, what should we do to fix it? Should we call the governor? Should we write a letter? In fact, what happened is there was a whole list of things that they were doing to try to correct things. And I think they used the term usurpations. They complained to the king because there were these usurpations. In other words, they were things that the government was doing that took away their ability to complain in an orderly and logical way. And so the king was taking away redress, taking away the opportunity for them to lovingly hold the government accountable. So those were the things that they were having to deal with. Do we actually apply some of these things that we've been reading and that we know to be true? And so they took a great experiment, a huge experiment. In fact, last line of the Declaration of Independence, they said, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And you can probably go on the internet and type in whatever happened to the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And you can get a lot of things that talk about the lives of those people who, when they signed that document, they were actually putting their lives on the line. They were executing, as far as a king was concerned, they were executing treason. Now, they didn't believe it to be treason because they knew that not only did they work for the king, they worked for the king's boss. And if the king is not obeying the big boss, Almighty God, then they have a duty to, even at the risk of their life, to correct the king. So consider this today. Are you willing to risk anything to correct the king? Is there anything that you know the king is doing today that is wrong? We don't elect people to just arbitrarily make decisions and then whatever decision they make is law. Law is law. Almighty God authored law. And so if the king will do what God says is right, then what the king does is right. If the king does something contrary to Almighty God, then what the king is doing is wrong. And the problem is we don't work for the king. The king works for us. And because he works for us and we're in commonwealth together, we've agreed together to be love one another in this mutual society, and we hire our servant, the magistrate, to make the rules and the police to protect and serve, we submit to them because they're doing right. And when they do right, we submit to them, and everybody gets along. But sometimes wrong happens. Sometimes somebody who is elected to office does what is wrong. John Locke made a comment about why government was necessary. And he said, if men were not corrupt, vicious, and degenerate, he said, because of the corruptness, viciousness, and degenerateness of mankind, there would be no need for government. Because they are, you realize sometimes we elect somebody to office who doesn't know right from wrong. And they'll be doing wrong things. And it's our responsibility to do what we're supposed to do to hold them accountable so that we don't have things like having, what would you do in Germany if Hitler were in charge and you were there before the war? What kind of things do you think you would do that the people of Germany didn't do? What are the kind of things we need to do today here in America to make sure that doesn't happen again?
That is our resounding theme here on the Faith and Freedom Show. We are going to talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Thank you for listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM for this Liberty Works Radio Network, and we shall return.